Okay, today's daf is Kuf Hey. We're going to start four on Kuf Dal and Amabet. Before the lines get wide, four lines before the lines get wide. By Rabbi Elazar, right? By Rabbi Elazar. Okay, Yitziah Mahu Shetoil Beparim Anisrafim Usirim Anisrafim. Okay, so now they want to ask we're going to see a whole bunch of questions for Rabbi Elazar, and with a lot of things in today's stuff, there's going to be several interpretations about what exactly we're talking about here. Okay? So this first question, there's a machloket. Rashi says, are we talking about that, one second, Maushe to'il b'parim anisrafim, right? Does yitziah, one second. Does yitziah of the animal from the disqualify? One second. There's a debate whether we're talking about is it mitame begat. There's two things about yotze about a parim anisrafim that are relevant. One is when you're yotze, you're mitame begadim, right? The people taking it out. That was our mission. We saw there was a debate about it. Maybe only the people who burn it, or even the people who carry it out. So, according to Rashi, the question has to do with, does Yitziah mo'il for Parim and Nisrafim, Musirim and Nisrafim, L'tamei Begadim, which we're going to see in a minute what exactly his question is. According to Tosfot, the question is, are we talking about, is there a psul of Yotze, just taking something out of the Azara? Now, obviously the Parim and Nisrafim were supposed to go out of the Azara, so when would there be a psul Yotze? If you take it out before Zrikatam, they can only go out after Zrikatam. So what if you took it out before it's rikatam? So according to each one, it's a totally different question. Anyway, they say, my kamibayle. What's the question about? Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, aliba demanda amar adayin lo yigiyaz mano latzeit, mi amrinan. And as the question is, if you take these out, either which way we're talking about before it's rikatam, if you take them out before it's rikatam, are they mitame their nosim according to Rashi? Or is there a psul yotze according to Tosfot? So if you say, if you remember, we had this whole debate before. If you say adayin lohigiyaz mano latzeit, right? Mandamar adayin lohigiyaz mano latzeit. Mi amrinan hane mile basar de ein sefo latzeit chova. Aval hane de sefan latzeit chova lo. O dilma achinami lohigiyaz mano latzeit. When we said there was this whole debate about a psul of yotze about the meat, do we say that since adayin lohigiyaz mano latzeit, therefore, if it goes out before, the whole issue was, if it goes out before Zrikatam, do you remember there was this whole thing? When we're talking not about the Parim and Nisrafim, we're talking about a regular animal can't be taken out of the Azara. It's Psul Yotze. What if it was taken out before Zrika? So they say, there's a debate about, do we say, Adayin lo yigiyaz mano latzeit, and therefore, right, if you say, one second, latzeit. Right, adayin lo yigiyaz mano latzeit, and therefore it's not psul, because it's not even its time. One second, according to this, I'm confused for 1 second. Adayin lo yigiyaz mano latzeit. Oh, right. Sorry, I got confused. It's about kochim kalim. Kochim kalim are allowed to leave, just like the Parim and Nisrafim are allowed to leave, right? But they're different. One is allowed to leave to be burned, and one is allowed to leave to be eaten. So if you were to take out the kochim kalim before Zrikatam, there's a debate, is it a psul yotze or not? Do we say, since anyway it's going to be allowed to go out, therefore it's okay to take it out now, it's not going to be pasul? Or do we say, no, since lo yigiyaz mano, let's say, right now you're not allowed to take it out, you're only allowed to take it out after Zrika, therefore it is pasul. So if you say, alivet mandamar adayin lo yigiyaz mano, let's say it, and therefore it's pasul, do you say that only when it comes to the basar, because the basar de ein sefo latzeit chova, that yes, eventually you'll take it out, but you don't have to take it out. There's no chova to take the meat out. Let's say you want to eat it wherever you want. You can eat it inside. But that would be different in our case. Hani ditzofan latzeit chova, right? You would say, no, but these are chova latzeit, and therefore if you take it out before Zrikatam, maybe it's not pasul. And it makes a little more sense according to Tosfot, we're just talking about pasul. But again, it could be, we're talking about, would it be mitame begadim? Okay, and then you'd have to kind of make a little jump here. O dilma, hachanami, lo yigiyaz mano latzeit, or do you say very simply, it's not its mano latzeit yet, and therefore it's not relevant. It's not going to be, it's lo yigiyaz mano latzeit, and therefore by taking it out, either according to Rashi, it is mitame begadim, or according to Tosfot, it's psul yotze. Tashma, Let's try to learn it from here. Detane Levi, Shirabo Psul Bibitziato. Okay, one of the cases, we saw this yesterday, the very end, that Irabo Psul Bibitziato. Right? So now, what kind of Psul would be Bibitziato? Right? There was all the thing about when, where you burn it, right? If there was a Psul Bibitziato, then you burn it. There was a bit of a debate about it, right? Where do you burn it? But anyway, he says, Irabo Psul Bibitziato. My la Psul Yitzia. Isn't it talking about psul yotze, which would mean what could be the only case? When could you have a psul yotze by the Purim and Nisrafim? The only time you could have a psul yotze, normally, you're allowed to carry it out once this rikatam. So the only time you have psul yotze is before, which would prove that there is a psul yotze, right? Or, according to Rashi, it would be metame begadim. That's why this works a little better according to Tosfot. So they say, lo, psul tuma u psul lina. You could say it's talking about on the way out, it became Tame or Lina. Now remember, yesterday there was a whole debate. Is Lina even relevant? So this guy will read the source to say it's Lina because he doesn't want to read it saying it's Yotze. And anyway, they play with them. When they want to, they could say, well, maybe it doesn't mean Lina. When they don't care about Lina, they kind of add it to the batch. Okay. By Rabbi Elazar, another question. Parim anistrafim usirim anistrafim sheyatza rubo b'mi'ut ever mahu. Okay. Once most of the animal goes out, then it's metame begadim of the people, and it's also metame the people, right? When we say metame begadim, it means the person and his clothes. Because in avatuma, okay, this is a good review for today, because we're going to get to this a lot. In avatuma is the actual davar atame, like a sheretz, or here it's the parim anistrafim, or sirim anistrafim. Their metame, their in avatuma, is metame adam, kelim, and ma'achalu mashkeh, okay? Person, vessels, and food items, and drink. That item is called a rishon. A rishon can only be metame, food and drink, meaning the only thing that can become a sheni is food and drink, and the only thing a sheni can be metame is also food and drink, but only truma and kudshim. It can't be metame chulin. Chulin, there's no such thing as shlishi, and revi, right, that food and drink can only be metame other food and drink that's kudshim. Okay, if it came in contact with basar kudshim or something. Okay. So now he asks like this. If rubo yatsu, so most of the animal goes out, but the thing that puts it over the edge is, let's say, a leg, and the leg, only a mi'ut of the leg, so in order to get to the majority of the animal being out, we have to count the leg, but only a small part of the leg, I'm just giving an example of a leg, only a small part of the leg is out. So the majority of the leg isn't out. So do we say Mao hachmiuta de ever bataruba shadina le, vahalo nafkale, o dilma bataruba de behema shadinan, bataruba behema shadinan. Do we say, we go after rove of the aver, and then we say, well, look, most of the leg hasn't gone out, so the part of the leg that went out, we consider as part of the leg that's still in, which means that you no longer have the majority of the animal being out. That's, technically speaking, you have the majority of the animal being out, but part the majority of the leg is in, which means the little part that's not in is considered connected to the leg, and as we view the leg as one whole aver there, and therefore we say there's no majority here and there's not metame. Or do we say we go after rove of the behema? What?
So this is a Rabbi Yirmiyahu question.
Yes, there's really crazy questions here. Pshita de lo shavkinam ruba de behema vazlinam bataruba de evarim. Okay, so it's obvious, they say, that we don't ignore the rove of the behema and go after the rove of the evarim. And that's what a crazy question. Of course, once the rove of the behema goes out, why are you starting to question this? Ella, well, in other words, so he's now going to say that obviously wasn't the question. Obviously, we follow rove of the behema. What do you want to say?
No, because the animal is burned on the mizbeach whole, not chopped up.
Yeah, so therefore
so,
what?
So there,
obviously,
so,
it goes after most of the body, you're
right.
Saying. Right. Okay, here, remember, no, they're not being burned on the Mizbeach. This is the Purim Minister of him. They're being burned all the way outside. I'm just reminding you that what we're up to.
Okay.
Ella, so what he's asking is, Sheyatza chetzio b'rov ever. Half of it goes out. In other words, not rov. Half of it goes with the majority. It's the reverse question almost. Half of the animal is out. Most of the leg is out. But there's a little bit of the leg that's still in. Now, if you count that, right, where are we going to go here? Hi miuta de aver bata rov aver shadina le. In order to make it go over the half mark and say it's majority, we can say, well, it's true, since most of the leg is out, just a teeny bit is in, we're going to say that little bit gets considered with most of the Aver, and therefore, v'hanafik le, we're going to say, and yes, therefore it's out. Odilma batar behema shadina le, and since we go back based on what part of the animal, then we're not going to view the Aver as connected, and we're going to say, well, only half the animal, not the majority, and therefore it's not matane. Teku. Okay, we don't have an answer to this question, and typical, like you said, Rabbi Yirmiya style. Rabba barafuna matnele begavre hamitaskimbo. Rabba Barapuna said the question wasn't about the Rove Aver, it was about Rove people. Okay, what's the question here? Hamisha ben Adam, there were five people carrying the animal out, right? Normally you would imagine a stretch of four, but somehow we have a case where there's five.
That's why I asked if they were chopped up, because one person could, five people could take five different
right.
pieces.
Right, so no, they're carrying the animal whole. Vinafku tzlata, so three went out. Upasha luhu tre, and two were still inside. My bata rov mit askin azlinan, o bata behema azlinan. And again, they say teku. Okay, there's a lot of different interpretations to this question. I'll try to go through them all. I don't know. I have four explanations I not jotted down. One is Tosfot, who says the question is, since three out of the five people left, what did we say before? If there's people in the front and people in the back and the people inside are still inside, then they're not tameh yet. But according to this, since the majority of the people went out, do we say the majority, and even the two inside, are going to be considered tameh? Rabbeinu Chananel says, are the three, and the case is, then we have to add, the case is the three people are already out, but the majority of the animal isn't out. That's why the question says, do we go batar, otherwise it doesn't really make so much sense. Why are we asking at the end, do we go batar rov mitaskim or batar rov behema? We would have to assume the case is that rov behema didn't go out yet. So do we say, since three of the people carrying it already went out, that's considered as if the Rov Behema's out? You know, we go by Rov people and not Rov Behema, or not. Rashi says, the question has nothing to do with are they Nitzma'im or not. That's obvious. But the question is, if the animal became Pasul Achshav, let's say someone, you know, was Metameit, we had the whole thing about that where it gets burned depends on, once it gets, you know, disqualified, where does it get burned? Inside the Azara or outside? So if already three people were outside, do we consider that the animal was disqualified outside? Or since Rov Behema is still inside, we say it was like disqualified inside. And then that's the question. The Rambam adds, additionally, you could ask the question, what if it went out before Zrika? Would it be considered Yotze or not? Because is that Yotze? If Rov Behema didn't go out, but Rov people went out, and that's the question. So it's a huge, many, many of the sugyas today were clearly hard to understand, and therefore there's many different interpretations as to how to read them. By Rabbi Elazar, another question. Parim usirim and istrafim shiatzu v'chazru mahu. Okay, you took these animals out, and then you brought them back in. Now, what's the issue? As soon as you take them out, we said, again, according to Tanakama, not Rabbi Shimon, but the people who are dealing with them become tameh, they're metameh themselves, they become tameh themselves, and they're metameh begadim, right, their clothes are tameh. Now the question is, what if you brought the animals, after you brought them out, as if you're going to burn them, and then you bring them back in, do we say, now here's the big debate again, big question what it is, Rashi says, fascinatingly, and Tosfos says, this is a crazy explanation, how could Rashi possibly say this, that does that mean, let's say you're carrying it out, you carry the animal out, and then you bring it back in, we don't know why you brought it, but you bring it back in. Now, when you walked out, you were metame begadim, right? Because you were metame and your begadim were metamim because you were metaskim b'srefa. As soon as you bring the animal back in, you're no longer considered, right, retroactively, you're no longer metamim b'srefa. You're no longer metaskim b'srefa. You're not dealing with burning it. So according to Rashi, the question is, does your tumah disappear? Which Tosfos says, what kind of a case do we have tumah that just disappears by walking into the Azarah? What kind of craziness is that? So Tosfos says, that can't possibly be the question. And Tosfos says, the question is, once you bring the animal in, does he continue to be metame anyone who is dealing with the animal now inside the Azarah? And Tosfos is going to make a lot more sense with the answer given in the Gemara. Rashi is going to be very hard to explain also with the answer given in the Gemara. So I'm going to kind of stick with Tosfos for right now. But Rashi is just a really interesting shita to think about, that you could, you know, that in theory, yes, you thought you were going out to Shreifa. At this point, you kind of undo it. It shows, what does it show? That, and we're going to deal with this later today also, that there's a different type of tumah operating here than general, regular types of tumah, right? Tumah is generally something becomes impure. Here, it's not because it became impure and something went wrong. Here it's because anyone who's mitasek in the shreifa, likewise the shreifa of the para aduma, right, becomes tamei. Right, that's the whole thing. Really, we generally talk about this with para aduma. We talk about it less with this, but it's the same idea. Anyone who's dealing with this, right, in the para aduma, it's always that paradox that it's mitaher, but it's mitame the people who are dealing with it.
It makes sense in a way because they're getting tamei because of a job, which is the right. only case.
Right. So it's a very different really, type of tuma.
And they haven't really, let's say, started the job if they come back in.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. That's why Rashi does sort of make sense because yeah. we're saying you actually didn't do the job. And it's, right. we're mitame you at this early stage, but if it turns out that it wasn't really happening, then it wasn't really happening. But Tosa's like, what are you, crazy? You went your tummy, you go in, you undo it. So, right, it's like the undo button on the computer, right? okay. Mi amrinan kevan dinafke lehu itame lehu. Right? Do we say, since they went out already, they're mitame? O dilma kevan dehadur hadur, right? Since they went back, then it goes back. Amar Rabbi Amar Bar Mama. Rabbi Amar Bar Mama says, Tashma, let's learn from here. Hayusov lino tobimoto, what does our Mishnah say? They were carrying it out with the poles, right, like a stretcher. Harishonim yatsu chutz l'chomat azara, v'achronim lo yatsu, right, the first ones go out, and the second ones are still inside the azara. Harishonim shiyatsu chutz l'chomat azara, mitamim begadim, v'achronim ein mitamim begadim ad shiyetsu. Okay, this is a very different case, but they're going to somehow connect it, and this is why also it's a little complicated to understand. V'isal kadatach kevan tenafgo luhu itamu. If you say that as soon as you go out, you become tamei, hanach de'ika gavai li tamei, then the people inside should also be mitamei. Okay, how do we understand this? We could say like this. If it's taloi, based on the people, and not actually the strefata para, but what's the issue? It's the yitzia that makes the difference. And therefore, once you're yotze, it doesn't matter if you brought it back in or not. Then in theory, you should say, once most of the animal is out and the two people are out, then the people inside should also be tummy, because it has to do with, right, one second, let me just make sure. Right, depends. Right, in theory, it's hotza'ana be'ema, which is gorem letum'ah. So it shouldn't matter whether the people are inside the azara or not. So therefore, in the end, they're going to say, amaravina betiz, one second. Right. Okay. Okay, so therefore, if it all is based on the animal going out, and therefore we're going to say, just once he goes out, it already messes everything up, then the people inside should have been tame also. The fact that they're not shows that if you bring it back in, it's not going to be mitame anyone else until they actually go out. That really, it has to do with the people themselves going out. And therefore, if anyone's, as again, according to Tosfot, where we're talking about now, from starting from here on in, since already they started dealing with the strafe, are people who are dealing with the animal in the azara going to be tummy? Of course they're not going to be tummy. They're not going to be tummy until they actually leave, right? Once they leave, of course, what does Tosfot think? The people who went out originally are still tummy. It's not going to be undone. And the people inside who are now dealing with it aren't going to become tummy until they actually leave. And that's proven from our Mishnah. It all has to do with leaving and not the animal itself, but the people leaving. Okay. Amar Ravina, v'tizbara. Do you really think that this is the case? Ha be'ina va'achar yavo al machaneh v'leika. The reason why those people don't become tameh doesn't have to do with that. It's not because it all has to do with the yotzei, but he says the reason is it says achar yavo al machaneh. In other words, he says no one can ever become tummy when they're still in the azara. Because what does it say? It says the person who burns it, here, let me read you the whole pasuk. Vasoref otam, yechabes begadav, rachatze pesaro b'mayim, v'acharechen yavo l'machaneh. The one who burns it has to wash his clothes, and himself he has to tovel, and then he can come back into the machaneh. What does that imply? That he has to have left the machaneh in order to go back into the machaneh. So no one in the azara can ever become tummy. If that's this issue, then they say Ele Rabbi Lazar hechi ba'ele. In other words, what was his question then? Obviously, anyone dealing with the para and the azara, once the para comes back in, of course they're not going to be tameh. In order to become tameh, you have to have left in order to. So then you can fulfill the pasuk. You became tameh, and then you go back into the azara. You know, then you're allowed back in. So what could he possibly have been talking about? So they say kigon de nikitele bebakulsi. What happened? The para was taken out, then it went back in. And now the para is on these poles, these long poles. There's a bunch of people who come outside the azara. They're standing outside the azara. They're given the poles. They're standing outside. what they're saying is, obviously the question couldn't be anybody inside. Nobody inside the Hazara could possibly become Tamei. The question is only, what if you're dealing with the Parah and the Parah is inside, or the Par or the Seir is inside, and it's on these poles, and you're outside, and you start pulling it out, but the animal's still inside, and you're outside. So do we say that since this animal already went outside and went back in the Azara, maybe in this case, you would actually, as it just continues its status of being Mitami, anyone who deals with it, as long as they're outside the Azara, and therefore these people pulling the poles, even before the animal gets out, they're already immediately Mitami Begadim? Or do we say not? That's the question. Okay? Tov. That was a complicated case. Okay. Tana Rabbana. Now we're going to have another thing. So we're finished with all the questions about Rabbi Elazar. Parim v'para v'seir mishtalech. Okay, we now have three categories. The par, okay, and the seir, really, right? The parim, the par, Kohen HaMashiach, and the par, and, you know, Yom HaKippurim, and all those kind of parim and seirim and israfim. U'para, and the para aduma. And now we're adding a third, the seir mishtalech. What's the difference between the seir mishtalech and all these other ones? Seir mishtalech doesn't get slaughtered. Remember, they just throw it off a cliff. So, in this case, we're going to have a difference. Well, right now we're going to say they're the same. The other opinion is going to say, wait, there's a difference because the animal's alive. Now, what's the difference between the animal being alive? We've learned already that animals, anything alive doesn't contract tuma. Okay? It's not makabel tuma. So, maybe the seir mishtalech is in a bit of a different category here. Or do we say that this is some unique type of tuma that's going to be even in a case where the animal's alive? So, now we're going to talk about those. Those are the categories, the parim and the seirim, the hanisrafim, the para aduma, the seir mishtalech, hamishtalech, the one who sends off the seir mishtalech, the one who's sorfan, the one who burns the para aduma and the parim and nisrafim and the seirim and nisrafim, and hamotzian, and the one who takes out the parim and nisrafim, mitame begadim, vehen atzman e mitamim begadim. Okay? They're mitame begadim, okay? But Hein atzman, emetamim begadim, but, in other words, this is some crazy form of tumah. Normally you have a sheretz, let's say. The sheretz in metame adam, kelim, achalu mashke, right? It doesn't matter what it, this is only going to be metame in a particular moment to a particular person. It's not metame for anybody else. So hein atzman, the para itself, if it's wandering around and somebody touches it, it doesn't pass tumah onto them. Right, you follow? It's only the person who's mitasek bo, the person who's burning it. Again, the question with the parim and israfim, is it the person, anybody dealing with it once it leaves the asara, or is it only the one burning it, right? But otherwise, if you touch it or come in contact with it, it's not mitame, okay? Ava mitamim ochlin umashkin divrei Rabbi Meir. But Rabbi Meir says, and here's this fascinating thing, that since they can, this power is wandering around, okay? It's not like an avatuma that can be mitame adam and kelim, but since it has the potential to reach tuma chamura, in other words, if you're burning it or if you're right, you're doing something with it, if you're the seir mishtalech and you're sending off the seir mishtalech, since it has the potential to become an avatuma in that case, we're going to give it a status that it's also, if it comes in contact with food and drink, the lower level tuma, we're going to give it lower level tuma. Okay, because it has potential to get to some severe tumah, we're going to give it a lower level tumah that's metame ochlin umashkin. Divrei Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim omrim, para uparim mitamim ochlin umashkin. I agree with you when it comes to the para and the parim, but the seir mishtalech, since it's alive and a live animal can't be makabel tumah at all, so we're not going to give it this status. Okay, eino mitame. Shu chai v'achai eino mitame ochlin umashkin. Nothing live generally is. You know, a live animal is not metame ochlin umashkin because it can't contract tumah. Bishlama la Rabbi Meir, kedetani debei Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, Rabbi Meir, we understand like the Tana of Rabbi Yishmael, detana debei Rabbi Yishmael. I'll call zera zerua. Okay, here's the pasuk about things the muchshar lekabel tumah. Here's the pasuk. Bechi pol mi nivlatam. I'll call zera zerua asher yizarea. Tahorhu, okay, if the nevela falls upon a zera zarua, okay, asher yizarea tahorhu, and what do we learn from this? That mazra'in she'ein sofan li tamei tumah chamura, a zera can never be an avatuma. There's no such case as a zera that's an avatuma. Utzrichin hechsher, and it needs has to be mukhshar lekabel tuma. We learned about this. In order for a zera to get something, right, you have a fruit. In order for it to pass on tuma to something else, it has to come in contact with a liquid, one of the seven liquids. Af kol she'ein sofan litamei tuma chamura tzrichin hechsher. Okay, therefore he comes and learns Rabbi Ishmael that anything, or in the house of Rabbi Ishmael, that anything that ultimately will never get to an avatuma needs hechsher. Okay, you have to have water or a liquid come in contact with it in order for it to be metame anything else. Yatzta nevelat of tahor shesofali tamei tuma chamura ve'ein tzricha hechsher. Now we're going to learn that not only do we have a category for the para, the parib, and all those that are eventually can become tuma chamura in a certain situation, there's another case that we learned that's just like that. What is it? The nevelat of tahor. Remember the nevelat of tahor? You have a bird who's tahor, but it dies naturally, not shechted. So what do you do? What's the tuma? It's not metame in general, but when it's bebe tablia, while you're eating it, it creates tuma, right? Anything you touch becomes tame at that moment, while it's in your throat. So they're saying that is different from, that's not like a zera, right? A zera, as a seed, has this halacha that it's only going to become tame if it's mukshar lekabel tuma. That's because it can never become tuma chamura. But something that has potential, like an avelat of tahur, to reach a higher level of tuma, like our parim and esrafim and all that, that could be mitami at a very high level, an avatuma level, they don't need hechsher. You don't have to have a liquid come in contact with them in order for them to contract tuma. Okay? They can pass on tuma in other ways. So now, that matches Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir said, anytime something can reach tuma chamura, like the seir mishtaleach, right, where it's Rabbanan, didn't think the Seir Mishtaleach was part of this. So, Ela L'Rabban, Yit Lehu, Tana Deber Rabbi Yishmael, Afilu Seir Mishtaleach. And as if he had like Tana Deber Rabbi Yishmael, he would add in even the Seir Mishtaleach, and he doesn't. And Ilele, and if he doesn't hold by Tana Deber Rabbi Yishmael, Afilu Parah Uparim Minala, and then he has no way to learn that the Parah and the Parim are going to be Mitame Ma'achalu Mashke. Okay, you follow? They're connecting these things about Ein Tzrichin Hechsher, which also just means that they're in this unique, that they are going to be mitame ma'achalu mashke. Okay? So, you know, it's either he holds like him and then he holds across the board, or he doesn't hold like him and then he doesn't have any source for this. Ki atar avdimi amar, amar b'ma'arava, tzrichin hechsher tuma mimakom acher. Okay, this is a big, nobody really knows what this means. Tosfos says it means, ein tzrichin hechsher tuma mimakom acher. Okay, and that it means the following things, the seir, the parim, the seirim, the para, right? They don't need hechsher mimakom acher, meaning they don't need to come in contact with liquids or anything else. But, and then you have to add, it doesn't really make sense because it's not really answering the question, but the seir mishtaleach, because it's alive, it's not in that category. It's a bit complicated because it's not really what it says. Rashi says, when it says tzrichim hechsher tuma mimakom acher, he kind of goes with Tosfot in terms of his explanation, but he says that tzrichim hechsher mimakom acher is talking about the zraim, to exclude it from all the other things. However, they'd also, you'd have to say that the Seir Mishtaleach is different. The Ravid has the best answer, I think, which is he explains that what it means, Tzrichin Hechsher Tuma Mimakom Acher, means, in theory, it's only things that in theory could become Tamei Mimakom Acher. In other words, a dead animal can, if it comes in contact with some sort of form of Tuma, it can become Tamei. Whereas the live animal, the Seir Mishtaleach, can't. So what he means, not Tzrichin Hechsher Tuma Mimakom Acher, which, again, that seems to contradict what we said earlier. These don't need Hechsher. They're all in this unique category. So what does it mean? It means, in theory, if they could come in contact with Tuma and become Tameh from something else, then we're going to put them in this category. But the Seir Mishtaleach, since it's alive, it won't become Tameh from anything else, because Balei Chayim don't become Tameh. Therefore, it's different. So I like the Ravid's explanation. It makes a lot more sense. By Rabbi Elazar. Oh, here comes Rabbi Elazar. We're back to him. Parim usirim and esrafim, ma'u shi'itamu ochlen umashkin bifnim kibachutz. What do we say that when they're inside, they're also mitame ochlen umashkin? Because again, what did we say? When are they mitame? In particular situations, when you're taking it outside to go dealing with it. But what does that mean? Since it could potentially come to tuma chamura, any other time it's mitame mashkin and ochlin. So therefore, can we say it's metame also in the azara, or is it only once you take it out? Mechusar yitzia kimechusar maase dami. Olo. do we say, if it's missing yitziyah, and as if you haven't taken it out yet, it's like it's mechusar maaseh, and therefore we're going to say it's not metameh, or do we say, no, it doesn't matter, it's not like it's mechusar any maaseh, it's already in its state. Okay, and then do we say, since it hasn't gone out, so it's not even yet considered the parim and shrafim, or not? Batar debaya hadar pashta. After he asked the question, he then answered it. Okay, as opposed to some of the other ones we didn't have answers for. Mechusar yitziyah ke mechusar maaseh dame. Okay, it's as if, just want to make sure I'm explaining this right. Right. It's like what I said. They're mechusar maaseh. They haven't yet come to the status of parim and nisrafim, because until you take it out, they're not chayav and parim and nisrafim, and therefore in the azara, they're not metame machal umashke. Which is interesting. You can also imagine they wanted to limit how many things could be metame, become tame in the mikdash. So it's also good that they did it. Okay. Ba'amine Rabbi Avar bar Shmuel mi Rabbi Chia bar Abba. Nivelat of tahor le Rabbi Meir mahu. So now, according to Rabbi Meir, who's going to say that this unique category applies across the board to all cases, including the Seir Mishtalech, maybe we would apply, right, Nevelat of tahor, mahu, maybe we would also go another step further. What would that be? Okay, before we even go on, we have to give some basics of Tumah. Nevelat behema is mitame only with a shear of kibetza, not kezayit. Kibetza is about double a kezayit. So nevelat behema is mitame the kibetza. Nevelat of tahor, since it has to do with eating, what do we say? That when you're eating it, since a shear of achil is always kezayit, while you're eating a kezayit, it's mitame. You're mitame. So since nevelat of tahor is a different shear for tumah in general, right, when it's in the Beit HaBliyah, do we say then that in order that right now, if we're going to say, we already said nevelat of tahor is going to be mitame machalu mashke, even not bebeit HaBliyah. So is it mitame machalu mashke bekebeitza or bekezayit? Does it have regular dine tumah and tahara, or is it unique halachot of tumah bebeit HaBliyah? Now, why is this only a question according to Rabbi Meir? Because Chachamim didn't push things so far. According to Chachamim, obviously it would only have like regular dine tumah and tahara, and it would only be kibetza. It's only Rabbi Meir who pushed it and said, even seir mishtalech, which is normally wouldn't have tumah at all because it's a live animal, right? If you're going to go that far, then maybe you would go nevela of tahor and say, even bekezayit. So now they say, wait, in which case are you asking? Demachtala ara lo tibayilach. If it's sitting on the floor, of course it has regular dine tumah. There would only be kibetza. Dinaki bepume lo tibayilach. If it's in your mouth, for sure it's not a question, because obviously then it's kezayit. Ki tibayilach dinakit le biyade. The only question is if it's in your hand and it's so close to your mouth, do we say, since it's in your hand and ready to go in your mouth, mechusar kreva ke mechusar maaseh dame, oh lo. Do we say, since it's not yet in your mouth, it's as if you haven't done the maaseh yet, and it's only metame bekebeitza, because regular dine tumah, or do we say, no, since it can go in your mouth in a second, therefore, we're going to say it's metame bekezai. So what do they answer? Mechusar kreva lav ke mechusar maaseh dame. It's not ke mechusar maaseh, and therefore, it would be metame, even kezai. Now they say, ATV, wait a minute. We have a contradiction. It says in the Tosefta in Para, Shlosha Asar Dvarim, right? I think it's a Tosefta. No, it's a Mishnah. Sorry, it's a Mishnah Tarot. I was confused. It's a Mishnah Tarot. Shlosha Asar Dvarim Ne'emru B'Nevelat Of Tahor. There's 13 things said about Nevelat Of Tahor. Luckily, they saved us and didn't list all 13 here. V'zeh Echad Mehen, okay, and this is one of them, even though it's going to be a few of them. Tzricha Machshava, in order to make it become, in order to make Nevelat of Tahor work, you have to have machshava that you're planning to eat it. In other words, in order for it to be metame ochlin umashkin, you have to have had intent to treat it as food. If you didn't intend to eat it, then it's not metame ochlin umashkin. Ve'ein tzricha hechsher, and it doesn't need hechsher lekabel tuma, it doesn't need to have liquids come in contact with it. Umetame tumat ochlin bekebeitza. Oh, there you have it explicitly. It's metame only bekebeitza, not bekezayit. And we just said a minute ago, it's kezayit. So now they're going to say, my love Rabbi Meir here, you know, isn't this Rabbi Meir's shita? They say, and then it would contradict what we just said about Rabbi Meir. So they say, no, well, Rabbanani, you could say very simply, no, this is Rabbanan shita. Rabbanan, we said anyway, for sure they would say kibetza. So then you could just say this mission is not Rabbi Meir. But wait a minute. V'hakatani reisha, tzricha machshava, ve'ein tzricha hechsher. Uman shamat lehai svara, Who's the one who says it doesn't need hechsher? That's Rabbi Meir. Now, this is a little problematic, because Chachamim only disagree with Rabbi Meir about the case of the Seir HaMishtalech, not about the Neveh Ladov Tahor. I mean, they weren't actually talking about the Neveh Ladov Tahor. So either you could say that maybe Chachamim would say the same thing there, or the Shita Mekubetzet just ignores this line and cuts this out entirely because they say this doesn't really make sense. So let's just go on in any case. They're going to say, Midiresha Rabbi Meir, Seifa Nami Rabbi Meir. In other words, you can't say this isn't Rabbi Meir because the Resha is Rabbi Meir and the Seifa is also Rabbi Meir. Now, according to Shita Mekubetzet, this isn't here. Anyway, we'll get to the Shita Mekubetzet. What's he going to say then? The issue is, but we'll see in a second. So they say, what do you mean? You could say Resha Chachamim and Seifa, Resha Rabbi Meir, Seifa Chachamim, because you could say, right? Midiriya, hakadita. You could say that's Rabbi Meir, that's Chachamim, no problem. But now they're going to continue to question. So according to Shita Mekubetzet, this is really the only question, because that one wasn't such a question. Ha midikatani seifa, but keep reading on in that Mishnah. What does it say? We learned this already. Shchitatam malikatami taheret trefatami tumata. If you have a trefa, remember, the trefa's tame. But if you shechted it or did malika to it, if it's a bird, we're talking about the bird here, if you did shchita or malika to it, then that's mitaher from tuma nevela. Because you did do a kosher shchita, even though the animal can't be eaten because it's treif, it's a treifa, right? It would have died anyway. But since you did a shchita, that takes it out of its tuma. Now, who says that? Remember, we had a whole debate about this. Does shchita or malika take it out of from tuma nevela, or does it still have tuma nevela? So man shamat lehai svara, Rabbi Meir. And therefore, Reisha Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir, Reisha V'Sefer Rabbi Meir, Mitziata Rabbanan, and then you're going to have a problem. Now again, it's according to the Shita Mekubetzet, this would be the only contradiction. This line with the previous line about the Neveh Ladov Tahor. According to our Nosach, it's both. It's that we have a Reisha Rabbi Meir, the middle case is Chachamim, and the latter case is Rabbi Meir. So this, you know, either which way, it's either Rabbi Meir, Chachamim Rabbi Meir, or just Chachamim Rabbi Meir. Either which way they say it's a problem, but then they say, no, in Reisha V'Sefer Rabbi Meir Mitziata Rabbanan. Okay, no, that shouldn't bother us. We've seen that other times. Amar Rav Hamnuna L'Rabbi Zera, Lo Teta V'Karech, don't sit down, Ad Da'amrat Li Ha'Milta, until you explain to me this. Nevela Of Tahor L'Rabbi Meir, Monim La Rishon V'Sheni, O Eim Monim Rishon V'Sheni. Okay, what did I tell you before? We have an Avatuma, right? Avatuma is Metame. Right, everything makes the next thing tame, right? An avatum is matame, a rishon is matame, a sheni can only be matame, truma and kodshim, right? Can only turn a shlishi into a problem. If the shlishi is truma and kodshim, it can mess it up. But now, what's our case? Avatuma is the par, the seir, the neveh ladov tahor, while they're in their moment, right? You're burning it, you're eating it, right? Whatever it is, at the moment. Then it's an avatuma. But, and then it's metame, right? A rishon can be adam, kelim, ma'achal, or mashke. A sheni can only be ma'achal or mashke. So when we said that this is only metame ochlim, what did we basically say? When it's not bebet habliya, and it's not being burned, and you're not the one dealing with it, then it's not an avatuma, it's a rishon. Right? Because it's only metame sheni, which is ma'achal u'mashke. But he wants to know, since this whole thing is a unique category, maybe we say it's only metame ma'achal u'mashke, but it turns them into a rishon. This is like against all, if we understand basic laws of tumah are the way they are and they're not to be changed, it goes against everything we've always learned. But they're suggesting here, maybe it can make things into a rishon and a sheni, meaning that I can make the food, let's say the nevela touches food or drink, it turns that into a rishon, which can then be metame a sheni. Or no, or do we say no? We treat the nevela as a rishon for this, right, in this situation, and therefore it can only be metame a sheni, and there's nowhere to go from there other than if it touches truma or kutchim, which was rare. So that's his question when he says, Monim la rishon v'sheni, do we say it's mitame the item as if it's a rishon? Then you would have this weird situation where something's considered avatuma to be mitame machal or mashke, but not adam and kelim, because nobody thinks that these items can be mitame adam and kelim unless they're in their moment, right? Someone's burning it, someone's taking it out, okay? So that's his question. So Amar Leih, Kol hecha de mitame adam b'maga monim lo rishon v'sheni. Kol hecha de ein mitame adam b'maga ein monim lo rishon. Okay, in other words, they basically say laws of tumah go against all that. In other words, only if you're mitame adam and kelim can you call it a rishon. And then, in other words, when it has the potential to be mitame adam and kelim, then you can have something become a rishon to be mitame asheni. But not if it can't be Matame Adam and Kelim. And therefore, this would be an exception. And that comes from this pasuk, the whole pasuk where they learn about a sheni, says, V'chol kli cheres asher yipol mehem, from one of the Shmona Shratzim, el tocho, kol asher b'tocho yitma. So there you have a kli cheres, right? The item goes into a kli, and then the sheretz goes into the kli. The sheretz is Matame the kli, and the kli is Matame the food inside. That's where we learn sheni. So it would have to be where you could have that type of order. Mitame Adam and Kelim, and then food. This can't be Mitame Adam or Kelim. So therefore, it doesn't fit into the category at all. By Mine Rabbi Zera Mirabi Ami, Barchia. Va'amr la Mirabi Avin Bar Kahana. Okay, question who he asked. Haditnan, Chibure Ochlin al Yede Mashkin, Chibur Litumakala, Be'en Chibur Litumachamura. Okay, what does this mean? If you have two items, you have a Chatzi Zayed of one and a Chatzi Zayed of another, and they're connected with a liquid, meaning they're in a cup of liquid, you have two pieces of meat, or they're in a pan with juices in them, okay? Now, these are going to be considered chibur litumachala, but they're not chibur litumachamura, okay? So they're going to be mitame, right? This means that they're going to be... Right, sorry, you have, let's say, these two pieces of meat, both are nevela, okay? Let's assume they're nevela. You have a chatzi zayin and a chatzi zayin, and they're connected with a liquid. Okay, there's juices at the bottom that connect them both. So we're going to say that it's only metame, right? That doesn't have a tumah chamura to be metame adam and kelim, because you don't have a full kazayin in one place. We're going to say that the mashkin works to connect them, but only on the level that they're metame ma'achalu mashke. So now we're going to have the exact same question. It's the same situation as ours, where something... in theory, could have been an avatuma, but it's not because there's only a chatzi zayit. However, there's this halacha that they're connected with a liquid. Because of that, we can view it all as connected. And therefore, we're going to say it can be mitame something. Mitame machal umashke. So again, they're going to ask the question, monim bo rishon v'sheni? Do we treat this with the chumra that it's going to be mitame? The machal umashke is a rishon, which means if that machal umashke comes in contact with some other drink and food, it turns it into a sheni. Oh, ein monim bo rishon v'sheni. So again, they answer, amalei kol hechad mitame adam monim bo rishon v'sheni. Ein mitame adam, ein monim bo rishon v'sheni. Okay. Finish with that complicated Tumah Tara stuff. Now we're going back to our Mishnah. Yatsu Elu Ve'elu. Okay, this is going to be a little simpler. We're going to now see the ones who go out of the, right, they start taking the para out, the par, or the seir, or all those cases. They're going to be, or the para duma, right, there, or no, not the para duma, just the perim and the serim and the they're going to be tame, right? So the first ones are tame, the second ones only when they leave. Minahane Mile, where do we learn this from? Titana Rabbanan, Lahalan Hu Omer Chutz L'Gimel Machanot, Kan lemachane echat. Lomar lecha, kevan sheyatza chutz lemachane echat, mitame begadim. So now they're going to say like this. In the case of the par kohen gadol, it says you have to go out of three machanot in order to take the par kohen gadol. Then when it comes to the par yom kippurim, it says chutz lemachane. So why does it add that chutz lemachane? What's it coming to teach you? Because you should already know that the other one goes out chutz l'shalosh machanot, and here it sounds like chutz l'machane echat. It comes to teach you the special halacha that once it goes out chutz l'machane echat, it's already mitame begadim. So as soon as you leave the azara, which is the machane shechina, then you're already mitame begadim. So now they want to know, where did you learn by the par kohen gadol it's not the par kohen gadol, I think it's the par kohen ha-mashuach. It's the par kohen gadol and the par helim davar shel tzibur. It's chutz l'shalosh machanot. And the par and seir of Yom HaKippurim is the machane echat. In other words, the par kohen mashuach and the par helim davar shel tzibur, that's in, right, that Vayikra Perek Dalet, all those unique ones when they make mistakes, that's chutz l'shalosh machanot, which we don't yet know where we learned that from. We're going to see that right now. How do we know that that's chutz l'shalosh machanot? The point is there it's chutz l'shalosh machanot, and here it says just chutz l'machane by Yom HaKippurim. So they're going to say that teaches you this halacha that as soon as you go out one machane, you're already mitame. So now, and that obviously, by the way, only matches our Mishnah, because our Mishnah said you're mitame as soon as you leave the Azara. the Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah didn't agree. He said you're only metame when you get to, when you start burning it. So he's going to have to do something else with that pasuk. Okay? So now we want to know, where do you learn this halacha that the par Kohen Gadol and the par Helim Dever Shel Tzibur is chutz l'shalosh machanot? So now they're going to darshan those pasukim. He gufa menalan, detana rabbanan, votzi et kol par mechutz l'machaneh. Okay? That's the first pasuk. That we learn chutz l'gimel machanot, ataomer? Chutz l'gimel machanot. Ataomer, chutz l'gimel machanot, o'enu ala machana achat. How do you know it's chutz l'gimel machanot? It just says, votzi et par mechutz l'machaneh. How do you know that means chutz l'shalosh machanot? So they say, כשהוא אומר בפער העדה מחוץ למחנה, שאין צריך לומר, שרי כבר נאמר, כאשר שרף את הפער הראשון. Remember that? We had, burn it like you burn the פער הראשון. So why do you need a חוץ למחנה there? That must come to add, ליתן לו מחנה שנייה. It has to be outside two מחנות. כשהוא אומר מחוץ למחנה בדשן, then there's also a pasuk there which says, take it מחוץ למחנה בדשן, שאין צריך לומר, שרי כבר נאמר, על שפח הדשן יישרף. It already said you have to burn it by שפח הדשן. Litein lo machane shlishi. So that's how you learn. It repeats it three times. For Rabbi Shimon, hai michutz l'machane mayavidle. So what does Rabbi Shimon do with the michutz l'machane that we learn? As soon as you take it out of the Azara, you're going to be metame. Mibayle l'chiditanya, Rabbi Lezer omer, ne'amar kan chutz l'machane, v'ne'amar lahalang chutz l'machane. Ma lahalang chutz l'gimel machanot, af kan chutz l'gimel machanot. He's going to use it for Xer Sheva to teach us that just like by the Parlim Dever Shel Tzibur and all those, it's chutz l'shalosh machanot, also, by the par Yom Kippurim, it's going to be chutz l'shalosh machanot. That's what he does with those words. Umala halan l'mizrachah shel Yerushalayim. Oh no, sorry. He's learning Gzeira Sheva between the par of Yom Kippurim and the para aduma. And they're going to say, just like that, chutz l'shalosh machanot, also the para aduma is chutz l'shalosh machanot. And just like the para aduma is the mizrachah shel Yerushalayim, af kan l'mizrachah shel Yerushalayim. The place that they would do it was in the mizrach. So then they say, Ela l'Rabbanan, who doesn't darshan this Gzeira Sheva, Hechas Saref Lehu, where do we burn the Parim and Nisrafim and all that? Kedetanya Hechan Nisrafim, Litzfon Yerushalayim, Chutz L'Shalosh Machanot. He has a different opinion. He says it was burnt not on the Mizrach side, the east side, outside Arabai, where the Par Aduma was, because he doesn't have the Gzeira Sheva. He says it was actually burnt on the north side. Why would it be burnt on the north side? Because all Kodshei Kodshim, right? We do Shchitatam b'tzafon. Tzafon is the direction, basically. So he says it would happen in the tzafon. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, abeit hadeshen nisrafim. The nisrafim abeit hadeshen. Okay, not in the tzafon side, but where the beit hadeshen was. Okay, I wanted to finish to the end of the parak, but we run out of time, so anyway, finish it up on Shabbat.